A very warm welcome to this Japa course online called The Living Name. I'm very, very happy that we have internet in this present situation so that I can reach out to all of you wherever you are. I really think this can be an excellent forum of having such a workshop. But I also request you to now slowly put all the distractions to the side. If you have children who need to be engaged, if you have a pot cooking in the kitchen, whatever it is, please take care of it, because if we enter such a serious subject as our relationship to the Lord by the chanting of the Holy Name, then we need to give it our full attention. We cannot afford to be distracted on this point. Let me, before starting, tell you a little bit about this course. It's a 7 weeks in-depth course. The method in which we will have this course is we will share discoveries, often new discoveries, with you in the first half hour. Then we will dive right into the question for another half hour. Then we make a little human pause, and then we will have for the remaining half an hour question and answers. About this question and answer session, which I hope will be lively and inspiring, I request you to send your questions in the comments part, and they will be brought to me, and then I will be able, hopefully, to address them for to your full satisfaction. Please ask your questions after the practice part, when we have a little human pause. Good. We are ready to start now. We are all set up. If you still need anything, like picking up your beadback, please know this is now the time, and we will here now start. When we speak about chanting the Holy Name, and I cannot tire to say this in the outset, we are not just speaking about chanting a mantra with Vedic syllables. We are actually, when we are reflecting on chanting the Holy Name, discussing how we can meet the Lord. It's our first and foremost practice in the so rarely achieved human form of life, to cross over the ocean of nations and have a meeting, a divine meeting. There was an important meeting that clarified many, many points. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had brought the Holy Name, was in Puri, he visited one day Rupa Goswami. Rupa was sitting with a straw hat there and writing on palm leaves works of literature which even now fascinate the mind of scholars and practicing devotees alike. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to inspect the writing. So he picked out a leaf, gave it to Rupa Goswami and requested him to recite the verse which he had written there. And when Rupa Goswami did this, there was an unprecedented reaction. Namacharya Haridas Thakur, the great devotee who was chanting the holy name from, he slept only 2 hours, so will we say morning? early morning to late at night. Namacharya Haridas Thakur, who became the teacher, the acharya of teaching the holy name in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's massive kirtan and sankirtan movement, he reacted when he heard this verse so spontaneously that he started to dance and chant. Tears were coming out of his eyes, and all the devotees looked at him and thought, what an appropriate reaction. They also liked the verse. The next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again came. He again asked that this particular verse, which had sent Haridas Thakur in the highest ecstasy, would be chanted again. And he said that by hearing this verse, all of people's unhappiness and lamentation goes away. So, and I will recite this verse in English to you, and I hope that all your lamentation and unhappiness will just evaporate. And it's a very, very, very powerful verse, because it directs us to the solution of all life problems. It is, I will just chant one line. Tunditanda vinira timvitanute tundavali laptaye. Rupa Goswami says, I just do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When this holy name is chanted, it enters through the ears, my heart, and it starts to dance there. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of my heart, it conquers the activities of my mind. So therefore, all unhappiness and lamentation, which are mental states, go away. Huh? And then all my senses become inert. The restlessness is forever quelled. And one can have such a peace and such a bliss that nothing else needs to be reached. Now in this Japa course, the living name, I hope and pray that all of us who participate will be blessed with this experience, that Krishna appears in our heart and our minds will be overwhelmed with happiness and bliss, so that all lamentation goes away, hopefully permanently. Yes, magic exists indeed. It exists in the hands of Krishna, who has come as his holy name. Later, Rupa Goswami was empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to settle in Vrindavan Dham, and there explain from there the pure chanting of the holy name and the glory of the holy name and bhakti in its essential pristine glory. And amongst his writings, he wrote one verse with which I would like to start this session. There are 8 verses altogether, and I hope we will open each session with one of these verses, because they tune us in. They give us essential tattva, that means essential philosophical understanding, but more than that, they will give us an idea of the taste. Bhakti must rest on tattva and on rasa, an experience of devotional or spiritual taste. We all know, when we know something, fine. But only when we like it or love it or enthusiastic about it, we will do it. So many people know so many things, but only those who are liking what they know, who are enthused by what they know, will act upon their higher understanding. So, yes, these verses will do the work. I will ask you to chant now. We are not yet so technically advanced that now text can blend before you, so you will have to chant the Vedic way. Someone says it in a call way, and you have to respond to it. I will always give you a sign like this when it's time for you to chant. Nikila Shruti Molirat Namala. Nikila Shruti Molirat Namala. I will break it down in two. Jyoti Nirajita. Jyoti Nirajita. Pada Pankajanta. Pada Pankajanta. By my yogic strengths, I have seen you. Not so many have participated, so I will not continue here. You will have to shape up a little bit more. I will read something which is easier, the translation. O holy name, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the gems of the Vedas known as the Upanishads. Imagine the scenario. The holy name sits on a throne and the Vedas are there before the holy name. And they worship him with a lamp that has 10 different fires on it. They make an aarti to him. And then they notice he has lotus feet. Not only that, he has delicate toes. This is the holy name. He's not just syllables which we pronounce with our mouth. He's not just a word or just a name like John or Luxenia. The holy name is a person who smiles and who has lotus feet. This understanding is necessary as we approach the chanting, it should not be a difficult spiritual practice, a chore, something which we do because it's a sadhana, a spiritual practice. No, real chanting means to meet Krishna. Or like Srila Prabhupada says, chanting Hare Krishna means to keep Krishna in your heart. It's a meeting, a divine meeting. And that is why our acharyas, our great teachers, have informed us that amongst all the spiritual practices, the chanting is the first and foremost, because here you are already meeting the Lord. The way or the path is the goal. Once there was a beggar. He had never seen gold. He had maybe a rinky-dinky begging bowl of the cheapest metal, and he thought, I would like to see gold. So he went to the king of his country, whom he knew to be very kind, and through a minister asked him, can I one time see gold? The minister told the king told the minister, it's all right. And the minister brought him into the palace. He brought him up a stairway and then opened a room which came from the landing into the inside of the palace. While the beggar climbed up the staircase, he noticed, wow, it's so shiny. I've never seen such a staircase. But he was not to be totally surprised that it's the palace of the king. But when the door was opened, he understood. There was only gold, golden vessels, golden coins. Everything was made of solid gold. And then he understood the staircase. Wait a minute. He looked around to the staircase and he could then understand, yes, the staircase which brought me to the gold was also made of gold, the same material. So, what brings you Krishna, the holy name that brings you to Krishna, by purifying your heart, freeing you from all the obstacles like your bad karma. No, the holy name which clarifies your path is also your goal. The only question is, how will we receive the holy name? How will we relate to the holy name? In our japa course, we will focus on practice more than on the philosophy and the philosophical background. We will try to bridge the gap between our present understanding of the holy name, Maha Mantra, mostly, and our experience where we meet Krishna. There is unfortunately a great gap between what we know, what we hear, and what we experience. So this gap needs to be very nicely, easily, happily bridged over. And today I will mostly focus on one insight. There's a book, a Padahi, Dati, a guideline which is summarize this guideline by one of the disciples of a personal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name is Dhyan Chandra Goswami. And he says it so distinctly and so briefly that I could really not explain it in any better way. This is his shloka. Mano matye stito mantro, mantra matye stitam manaha. Mano mantram samayuktam etadhi japalakshanam. Japa is the practice of chanting the holy name softly. And he says, japalakshanam, the symptom of real japa is this. This is what you have to do. The mantra should be situated within the mind. And then the mind should be situated in the mantra. The mind and the mantra should be joined together. This is the characteristic of japa. Let us just unpack this a little bit, because sometimes these verses talk to practitioners who are very deep into the practice, and they assume a lot of previous knowledge. What does it mean? The mantra should be situated in the mind. It means to receive the mantra properly. Look here. This is my glass of herbal tea. It's very good. It's Greek mountain tea. Now, if I want to have any benefit from it, I must situate the tea inside of me. Or to put it into plain English, I must drink the tea. I must receive the liquid. I must welcome it on my tongue, and from there allow it to flow inside of me, where it eventually reaches inside and nourishes me. So when we hear about the mantra should be situated in the mind, it means the same thing, that the holy name should be received through proper oral reception. I want to say this again. Proper oral reception. It means sound is coming. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I receive it through the ears and I welcome it inside. I let it flow to my tongue, and from there it can go inside my heart. This example with the tea is not very, very complete. I mean, it doesn't explain completely, but this is the idea. The mantra must be situated within the mind. For that, we need to receive it. We need to welcome it. We need that it flows inside. If the mantra is here, and I don't absorb it, I don't take it in. In other words, if there's some sound, and I don't even receive it, it will not have much benefit. How often we experience this, that there we are busy with something, and then people may address us, and we don't hear it, because we will only listen to something. I mean, the sound you can hear, but you can receive only something if your attention goes there. If your attention is not there, you will not be able to receive it well. So the mantra should be situated in the mind. Now, second. And the mind should be situated in the mantra. What does that mean? The mind should be focused into the sound. It's a second function of our mind. One is to receive or to absorb, and the other is we can direct our mind somewhere. I can now direct my mind to Sutapa, whom I assume will be there. I can see him, I can remember his excellent class from yesterday, and I could even remember the points. Detachment, how important it is, how it shows up in the Bhagavatam again and again, about how to cultivate a relationship to the Bhagavatam, hear it, reflect about it, serve it, discuss it, apply it, various first-class tips which I have not enlisted in the sequence. No, so directing the mind is a possibility which you also have. Absorbing things which come your way, receiving things which come your way, then directing the mind. This is what the mantra chanting is all about. In an easy way is the mind and the mantra should be joined together. This is what japa means. The mind, the mantra should be joined together. I once made an experience. I don't recommend it to all of you, especially not to those who are not excellent swimmers. But because I was living on an island for most of my youth, I was difficult to get out of the water, so much of a swimmer I was. Once I entered Mother Ganga it was from Rishikesh about 10 kilometers up towards the source of the Ganga, and I swam into the middle of the Ganga, and then I opened my arms and my legs and I prayed to Ganga to carry me. So I was carried by the flow of the Ganga, and it was such a sacred moment for me to be in this holiest of all rivers that I started to sing the Hare Krishna. That's what we always do when we are extremely happy. Until I came to the rapids or the white water. I had smooth sailing, floating, until I came to that difficult to negotiate place. And somehow I survived it. I wouldn't be amongst you. I remember two moments, floating and struggling. Chanting can be a similar experience. You can be carried by the sound of the holy name. You can be moved on when the mind is joined to the holy name. But when the mind we say in English, loses it. And you come to the wide waters and the rabbits of your discontent mind, or your mind which shatters so many things. Oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. You might experience restlessness. So how to join the mind with the mantra so that it's very easy? That is the purpose of the coming practice session. I would like to now change the format entirely. This was some glorification of the holy name and some theory of chanting. But now I would like to enter the practice with you. And let us first to change a little bit the atmosphere of our mind and the atmosphere maybe of the room. Let us first sing the mantra a little bit so that we can now tell ourselves it's ready to go. We are ready to go in the practice part. We will just very briefly sing, because we have to keep this little tyrant in our view. It's the clock.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear devotees, my dear friends, my dear skeptics also, please ask yourself a question. Is your mind joined to the holy name? Is it connected? Or in the language which we just heard, have you allowed the mantra to enter through your ears into your heart? And have you fixed your mind on the holy name? Only then a meeting can happen. Only then the real experience of the holy name can be made. So if it helps you, you might fold your hands, and you might now, when we hear the sign, close even our eyes and try to just be there, present with the holy name. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Dhamma Dhamma De. Ah, one more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I think it has become obvious to all of you that because we have a very concentrated workshop, it is critical of vital importance that you take absolutely attentively part in the exercise, because remember, this is not a theory. A meeting which is only a theory doesn't take place. You have to make it an experience. Now, let us move now into how or what we can do so that we experience more of the Holy Name. I will say, very, very importantly, the techniques, skills, which we will learn now, have only one point. They make us ready to receive. They help us, so to say, that the glass comes to the mouth. But whether, and here this example is insufficient, whether the name or Krishna will reveal himself with his beautiful presence in our heart is up to him. He needs to reveal himself. However, when he sees that we are not indifferent to this, if he sees we give some effort, then it is likely, more likely, that he will reveal himself, because his heart is conquered by the bhakti of his devotees. By the bhakti always means an expression, the service, devotional service. Yes. So, how do we bring ourselves in the receptive mood? Well, what do we first of all have? We have the three human endowments, gifts by the Lord. The human form of life is the suitable boat to cross the ocean of nations, if we know how to row it. Body, this human existence has three, I would say three bodies for the purpose of this workshop. I like to make differentiate it. We have our physical body, made of the skeleton which holds us up so that we can have a right posture, the tongue with which we can vibrate the sound, and the ears through which we can hear. These are physical things which are on principle doing what the mobile telephone in front of me does. It's standing there on a stand, it's hearing what I say, and it is even looking. But it doesn't have a tongue. That still needs to be done. Good. We use our human body to basically sit, to pronounce the mantra properly, and to listen to the mantra. What we will do with the other two bodies, subtle body, the mind, or the antakarana, the inner body, and the heart, that we will learn a little later. So, as far as our body is concerned, take your feedback, please. Sit in an upright position. You can bring your shoulders up, roll them back. That will open your chest so that your lung volume is there. And what we will do now is we will just focus on pronouncing the mantra and on hearing it. Physical activities. Just physical activities we do with our body. What we do with the mind and what we do with the heart comes a little later. Please take your feedback. And don't forget to apply always what you have heard before as good as you can. Hare Krishna, please join me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Wow, it's so good. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant with me. We all chant together now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continue to chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Pronounce the mantra. Continue to chant. I will talk, but you just continue to chant as if you're just chanting, but you're following instructions. Pronunciation. Pronounce the syllables clearly. Yes, pronunciation. All goes into the pronunciation. Second, listen. Don't just hear. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, mantra. I hear you. Oh, that's not the idea. Listen attentively. Yes, I can feel it through the camera, or I can imagine it through the camera. That would be right. Yes, yes, listen. This is not for hearing. Listening is now your task. And third, watch your posture. Continue. I will continue to speak and give you some good tips that can help you to align or use your body, your posture. If you can't sit on the floor, no problem. No one ever said the japa is only for floor dwellers. Cavemen? No, you can sit on your chair, but the idea is sit straight. Yes, continue. Straight sitting. Pronunciation. Listening. And straight sitting. I thank you. What to do with the mind? As we have aligned our body, it will be easier now to bring the mind to the task of chanting with full presence. There's a lot of things to be said about how our body influences our mind. When we just, how do you say in English? Just become a couch potato. It's not possible to focus. You can only hear the one-eyed guru, the TV. It's about couch potato. But you don't even sit attentively. Oh, yes. The mind finds it easier. But still, you have to practice these two things. Receive the mantra. And whenever you find that the mind is wandering, direct the mind to the mantra. Bring the two together. Mantra can be absolutely in your mind. Just like this tea, this is the Greek mountain tea, was placed into my glass, and as a result, the hot water absorbed the amazing taste of this tea. It was, the two are joined now. They are there. This water, we call it an infusion, is infused with the taste of all these amazing herbs of the Aegeus. That's the mountain range in Greek. So, my dear devotees, my dear practitioners, my dear yogis, whoever looks now, please now two functions of the mind. Let the mantra infuse the mind by receiving it direct the mind whenever it should, due to its restless nature, start to wander. I will now not speak to you, because otherwise I can't join you again, because I don't know exactly where you are in the mantra. So this time, what do we do? First, let the mantra come to us through the oral channel. And second of all, whenever the mind wanders, we direct it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, all of us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It will now become a little bit difficult. I will request you to chant on your own, in your own speed. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Finally, for this practice session, how do we put our heart into the practice? I think we all agree, when we put our heart into study, when we put our heart in learning to play the harmonium, when we put our heart into bow shooting of an English longbow, we will get it eventually. Scientists know that we have a second brain. One is working here, the other is here, where the heart is. And we say, I know in my heart this is right. We have just gotten an information that is not just theoretical. We have gotten an information that activates entirely different abilities than when we just have a brainy understanding, a mental idea of something. I know in my heart this is right. Because the heart, and I don't have the time nor the exact science at this moment. Actually, I have the science. I don't have the time to present to you how there is a lot of things going on in the heart, impressions, determination. So many things are there. The heart is a meeting place. Let me say first, the sacred space in the heart, it's called Dahara Akash in the Upanishads, is a place where the soul is, where Paramatma, the Lord in the heart, resides. It's here where the border between the material and the spiritual can be crossed. Now, how to activate the heart? The best way to activate the heart, really, is to come in contact with those whose heart is already activated. Prayers of great souls have the ability to activate our hearts. And they are very, very powerful in unlocking our own heart and even the heart of God. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of the great acharyas, recommends one shloka or text from the Bhagavatam for all those who wish to chant with more than just the mind on the mental platform, that they are so often disturbed if the mind wanders. Those who want to chant deeper, not lip deep only, not brain deep only, but heart deep, they can chant this verse from the Bhagavatam. It can be found in the 6th canto, please note it down, 11th chapter, and I believe it is the 22nd shloka, or around that. Ajata paksha, this is how it starts. Ajata paksha. It gives examples of an activated heart. Like the bird, the verse says, a baby bird longs for its mother to feed it. I long for you, my Lord. Like the calf who can hardly wait for the time of milking, when it is allowed to go to the mother and drink from the udder, I also can hardly wait for you, my Lord. And like the wife whose husband is in a distant place, longs for her husband to come so that she can serve him in all ways and be satisfied in that service, I also long for you. A beautiful verse which explains three levels of engagement. The first is just like the little bird wants to just eat the bugs which the mother brings. Not much initiative is there. Not much activation is there. Just some hoping that the mother will come. The second example, much better. Here the calf pushes forward. It moves to the milk of the mother. And the milk is such a good preparation. It comes from the body of the mother. No, it is not very distant and foreign. And then the final example of a human being wanting to be, in this case the lady, wanting to be with her husband who has been in the distant and absent from home. And then render service, cook, she may dress herself specially to give joy. And in this way, the chanter also goes through three phases. Oh, I need to chant better. Oh, let me make an endeavor like the calf. And then, oh, finally, let me please and serve Krishna through my chanting of the holy name. I think one of my people has found the verse, and I will read it to you from the mobile telephone that you can also find it. It's just now coming. To chant with the heart, this is something which you can do when you open your heart, awaken your heart. How? By listening to the prayers of those who are awakened already. There are beautiful prayers like the Sharanagati prayers. They are beautiful, beautiful songs and bhajans. There are also very, very beautiful verses in the Bhagavatam. Ultimately, when you sit to do japa, your whole life and all what you know, all what you carry inside sits. Make sure that you carry the right things inside. Make sure that you are in the right spirit. And make sure that your heart, this most powerful human endowment which we have, is there with you. And you will see miracles unfold. I just want to see, yes, I made a mistake and I can correct it now. The mobile telephone just gave up its life, but it will come back again. It's the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 11, text 26. 6, 11, 26. I call it the key to the most powerful organ, the key for power, heart power. Yes. Good. We are amazingly on time. I'm not used to this, to be so absolutely precise. We will now have a pause of 3 minutes. While this is going on, I request you to send your questions in the comment thing, so that I can answer them for the remaining part of our session here. I want to say here two things in the pause. I want to thank you, our Russian team. They organized a live a stream of what is going on now with a simultaneous translation into the sweet Russian language. So that is, if you want to see this and you are you want to hear it in your Russian original language, it is streamed at the Russian contact page. It feels really nice to have international devotees participating. America, China, Alaska, hopefully. They need some warmth there. And the second announcement, these videos will remain online on Facebook so that they can be watched later. Audio recordings of this course are available at, please listen carefully, sharanagati-library.com. And in the very near future, we'll upload them on my upcoming YouTube channel. You see, I'm trying to learn all these things, and soon I will have learned them properly. Good. So let me see. Some questions have arrived already. The first question here is, in a course, it is very clear to know what is done. I have been on your retreats and I have practiced, but it is not so easy to do so at home when there are so many other things. Any advice? I agree that it is very, very good when we come to a retreat or a course, or even if we come to a sacred place like a temple where a good atmosphere is made during japa, hopefully, that is helpful. But in the absence of this, we have to create our own atmosphere. There's a saying, you are not dependent on the outer weather if you have managed to create your inner weather. So in the same way, we are not dependent on retreats or courses or books, if we have managed to create our own understanding. Let me give you an example from my own life. I became a little disappointed in my spiritual life, like not a little, very, a lot disappointed. I was very disappointed. And I thought, what could help me now to make more spiritual advancement? And what I found out was, by reading Prabhupada's books, that yes, Krishna consciousness development is very easy by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has given us the chanting of the holy name. So I took this quite serious, and as a result, I became a little inspired, and I began to put a list inside my mind, what I do, how I create the atmosphere inside, the inner weather, so to say, that is most favorable for my own japa practice. So that even if I'm alone, you know, on a nature walk, when I sit down on a rock and chant, or on a bench, even then I can create the atmosphere so that my mind is focused. What I usually do is I make a checklist. The first is, do I sit properly? The second is, do I pronounce and listen properly? The third is, am I there with my heart? I sometimes, when I see I'm distracted, I think of so many other things, I just have 5 minutes of reading, and then it goes really fast. Then I apply a almost foolproof technique, which I would like to introduce to you tomorrow. I have to make a note here. Not tomorrow, then in the next retreat. It's something which always catches me. It's almost like entering a train and let the train, allow the train to carry me. It's a very authorized, very ancient practice which works miracles. So, if you chant alone, you must create an inner atmosphere of eagerness, of readiness. I have to now go a little faster because so many questions are coming in. Here is our Harshi Lutra. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat, Pranam. Maharaj, how can we do japa anywhere else with the same feeling and enthusiasm we do during chanting in Dham due to Dham's propensities? Yes, it is said, in a holy place, a sacred Dham, two of Krishna's energies support everyone, even the pilgrim who just comes there. It's the Dharaka Shakti, it liberates a person from his mental stuff, the ordinary feelings, emotions, distractions. And then the second Shakti is there, the Paraka Shakti, that which pulls one to Krishna. That we can experience in a holy Dham. How to have that same support in your chanting? I would like to connect it with the first question. You have to create a sacred atmosphere. Do you know what? It's not so difficult. There is a sacred atmosphere in every one of us. Everyone. We just need to know how to access it. It's the place which Krishna talks about in the Gita, Ishvara Savabhutanam, I am the Lord of all beings, Hridyar Arjuna Tishtate, and I am situated there in the heart. There you need to go. There you need to stay during your japa, and you will see, wow, I'm in the holy dham. I'm together with the Lord in the heart. I will now chant.
Mm-hmm.
Here is one, Natalia Osheretna. Hare Krishna, when there are some health issues or other mental frustrations, it can be difficult to keep chanting attentive or chant at all. How to overcome this? I have two answers. One is surprising. One, I don't think you will be so surprised. Stay healthy. It is a fact. When you are very disturbed by illnesses, then when the body is very disturbed, the mind, it gets to the mind. Because the two are so embarrassingly close to each other. Only someone who knows he's not the body and has realized it is not so fast, it's not tied so fastly or so strongly to the conditions of the body. So therefore, practice the items of good health, practice your tree of life. Take care that you are spiritually well-nourished, that you are physically well-nourished through a good diet, sleep habits, and movement, exercise. You need to see that you are emotionally good, that you don't have this constant chatter of this inner voice, this fear, anxiety-driven, etc. voice. Be focused on your goal. Huh? And yes, have a good, again, have that physical basis, and then do something for others. Socially, be there. So much well-being comes with it when this happens. So, this is my first part of the answer. Yes. First part of the answer. Second part of the answer is when you have health issues, try to mitigate them as much as possible. Sit, in other words, on a chair maybe, or on an even more comfortable sitting situation. See that there is warmth in the atmosphere. And then just tell yourself, it is totally normal that the body gives difficulties. Don't take it so serious. Detach yourself. You are in best company when you have health issues. It is normal that we feel pain. It's not something we should rebel so much about. It's the part of life, like the night is part of life. Let's tolerate it. Let's not be so surprised and shaken. Practice a little bit a vision of reality. This is the material reality. And see your great need that now I need to wake up to the higher reality, spiritual reality. I have become alerted by my team that a very, very dear friend of mine is taking part, Brahma Tirtha Prabhu, and he has also posed a question which I would like to address now. But first of all, Hari Bol, my heart is even overjoyed just to hear your good name. The mind can be a friend or an enemy. What to do to make it our friend? you must know one thing. Sorry, I'm speaking as if I'm a great knower of things, but I'm in my element here. So please allow me to continue on this. There's one brain, but there are two minds, not one mind. Two minds. How so? I hear this the first time. Please listen attentively. There are two, it's maybe wrong to say two minds. There are two functions of the mind. And thus, we can say, for clarity purposes, there are two minds. One is the fear-driven mind, the anxiety-driven mind, which can make an anxiety and a fear about everything and anything. That is the mind or the thought functions which are connected with the, it's a part of, it's a brain, it's only this small, it's like an element as small. The word starts with A, it's there. Everything can give us fear. We have to go to the dentist. Oh, no, 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 no. We don't think in the other, the second type of brain, which is the second type of mind. Wow, I get to go to the dentist to repair this problem. This is a huge opportunity which was not available to the people in medieval times whose tooth were removed brutally by these instruments. You know, how do we call them? Tongs, maybe, no? So on. So, you could also think like this. Opportunity. Connecting with others. I think to make the mind or the mental function a friend means that you practice a little bit awareness and introspection. Okay, where is my mind now? What is it doing now? Is it producing fear? Is it producing aggression about someone? Or is it another need? I need to be liked by others? Or do you use the second function of the mind, that is to see a greater picture, to see things from the spiritual perspective? And it is a firm conviction of even scientists and psychotherapeutics that if you practice always to go to the mind which sees the bigger picture, which is ready for spirit things, which is not so fear-driven, then it's almost like practicing a muscle which will start to function. So the first step is awareness. What type of mind is now speaking to me? The fear-driven mind, the attached-driven mind, the materially totally confused mind, is that, or is the other mind working? And then you switch that on. And you can switch it on like I can switch on Maragini. The mind is not us. We can use our mind, and we need to practice how to choose to do it. I must say, I belong to the species of people which are called by the Latin Americans the cuadrados, square heads, or other Europeans call the Germans nervous or supersensitive. I know what my mind can do when it is in that lower energy, when it is on that lower level working. But I have experienced that the mind can also, I can uplift it to a higher level. And therefore, these practices where we focus our mind, where we activate our heart, are extremely powerful to do that. But
since you know so much, Brahmadatta Prabhu, and we need to discuss this more when we meet next. So, I now need to first of all look. Yes, we have five more questions. Krishna Govinda asks, Hare Krishna, dear Maharaj, please answer this. How to be well-wishers of every living being, because sometimes we might not get along with others and they come in your mind and you think of them instead of Radharani and Krishna. It is affect. Relationships really occupy most of a person's time, mental time, where he thinks about, when he thinks. We think in terms of relationships. We are relational beings, if you so want. And good relationships can inspire us, but very, very often the hurtful relationships to difficult people can occupy a lot of our mind, these unpleasant encounters. Yesterday I found one way how to deal with this. It says, you won't feel the miseries of material existence if you follow the three advices. They are from the Bhagavatam, when Narada Muni instructs Dhruva. To those who are on a higher level, we should look up to them and worship almost them. Worship is a strong word. We should serve them. We should not envy them. To those who are on the same level, friends, we should have a peer relationship and not compete with them. And with those people who we see as being troublesome, who are on a lower level, we should try to see their situation through the eyes of compassion. We should not fight them or not counteract them. They have some trouble, therefore they need they need someone to project it on, and it happens to be you. They are suffering very often. I have never seen an angry, envious person being happy. I've never seen that. So this is something to be practiced. It's not always easy, and Krishna might send you the people with whom you have to practice this. Can practice this. Let me see if I did justice to your beautiful question. How to be well-wishers of every living being, yeah? I practice this when I started to practice to become a well-wisher when I noted how when I'm not and I'm in my reactive mood, that I'm suffering and I don't solve anything. I understood from the scriptures that the main dharma of a Vaishnava who's in this world is to be compassionate to others. And being from a family who has seen war and whose family members have killed many, many people, I have seen the great need to practice the Prahlad mood. When Prahlad prays to Lord Nrisimhadev for a boon, he says, Svastyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam. May there be auspiciousness throughout the universe. May the Kala, the envious people who be grudges, be satisfied and peaceful. May they be at peace. And he continues speaking like this. I know many always want to know the shlokas, where they can be found. It is in the 5th canto, in the prayer, in the 18th chapter. We will put it up. We will put it up where this prayer is. I'm not good in remembering numbers. So, yes, practice it. The main thing is, however, during chanting, you want your mind free, even from thinking well of others. Yes? This is a time to meet with Krishna. Please don't be busy with other projects at this time. But you will see, as you chant and your heart gets purified from the unpleasant enviousness, maybe, or greed, anger, and all this, then it will be much easier for you to be compassionate. So, I see there are other questions, and it is really a great honor for me to see that you are practicing so nicely. I mean, participating so nicely, but we need to end on time, and I need to say a few announcements how this course will continue. Part 2 of the Living Name course is next Sunday, the 26th of April, between 3 and 4:30 p.m. Central European time. So it would be wonderful to meet all of you, because we are continuing to going deeper and deeper. And Sunday is, I would say, the practice which always works. I want to introduce you to this. So next Sunday, 26th of April, 3 to 4:30 p.m. Central European time. Another announcement. You can, by the way, see all this also on my Facebook page. Yes, I think so. Must be. The second is, we will download right after this, that is in 2 minutes after the session, on this Facebook page, a very nice handout where we see a summary of 7 powerful points that help your bring your chanting to perfection. It's a verse unpacked from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's really powerful and really good. Because there's so much happening on the Facebook page, we can only have this there for 1 hour or so, and then we have to take it away. Otherwise, everything gets overcrowded and all the people get bewildered. What is here? What is there? What... and so on. So right after this, that is in 1 minute according to this, we will start. So let us end now. And let me thank all of you and say I'm really appreciating that you give me the opportunity to address you. I hope I can serve you more. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you still can hear me, please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.